Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, Middle Age gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show.
Hey everyone, we are back with another Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one premier podcast for folks just like yourself to get to know gaming news, what's something to play, ideas for the future. Today we have a very special episode where we're getting into the game Forspoken that will be in the second half of today's show. So if you are listening to this on the podcast, you can just skip ahead if you don't want to listen to what we're playing. But you should listen to everything, of course, because everything we say is super important. And I'm saying that with a very straight face on camera. Okay, so as usual, today we're going to talk about games we're playing, and we are starting with Antoine first.
Yes, so I don't know why it's me first since it's not my game, but fair enough. Then Adam introduced my game next week then. We will introduce a game which was supposed to be released in May, I believe, this year.
Oh, not games you are playing at the moment.
Oh, sorry. Oh, nice. Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay, so let's start over. Game I'm playing at the moment. I have been binging the Halo series. Does it count as a game? Technically, it's a game, Halo. Okay, it's game related. Yeah, I started watching it and it's really cool. Otherwise, I have been playing a bit of Tales of Arise, playing very slowly, but it's really good game, quite different from the other Tales of that I've played recently. I would take a stand and say it's even better than Berseria, which was already very good. So that would place it in the top three of Tales of at the moment. For me, at least, I would put it in a good two. And what makes it different is the same formula as the Tales of as usual, but it's way more narrated. You can't make two steps without having a cutscene.
Wow.
So if you like being interrupted in your action every two steps, it's a game for you. So for me, it's nice because I do the gameplay. They have a very refined battle gameplay, which is really good. And the Tales of is always renowned for his battle, you know, strategy and all. But here, they are really focusing on the story, and they really want you to be interested in the story, because if you're not interested in the story, you would give up after maybe an hour of game. It's like this: you play, you battle 15 minutes, cutscene. Go a bit further down the grotto or the cave, cutscene. Beat a boss, cutscene. Cutscene all the way, which is nice. You know me, I love story and everything, so it's good for me.
Nice. How animated are the cutscenes? Are there like Studio Ghibli?
No, it's the same game engine as...
Okay.
There's no breakout. You can go from cutscene to fight in a mere second. It's the same engine.
What about the voice acting?
As usual, I'm listening to Japanese voices, which I found which are always fun with the English translation.
Oh, nice.
It's like in movies or stuff. If it's English movie, I need to see it in English. I don't want to have the French like a dub on it. It's you know, it's creepy. Same for a Japanese game. If I hear, you know, like an English guy translating over English text, you lose in immersion. It's just not the same. So, yeah.
How many hours you put in so far?
Oh, not much. Maybe three at most.
And what platform, Antoine?
PC.
PC. Okay.
Of course.
Okay, Adam, what about you? What you been playing?
Mostly Death Stranding. So I've been playing quite a bit of that. I've gotten 5 stars on all but one of the delivery areas in the first area. I'm currently in the second area as well, but I'm trying to get good with everybody in the first area and then complete the second area. Antoine was right about make sure you get the, what do you call them? The highways up first. Those are definitely a huge boon to travel and make things a lot easier. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. I don't know what it is about that game, but yeah, as soon as I turned it on and I come in and it's the opening scene and you're playing and they got the music going and I'm like, this something about this game feels so familiar and it feels so, it's like comfort food. I don't know why. It just, hey, let me just pick up a bunch of stuff and run over there. And it's just, I don't know. Something about that game is really appealing to me and I'm really enjoying it. A little bit of Final Fantasy 14. They recently have been doing they've been sorting out the housing situation because I guess there was a bit of an error because they wanted to change how housing was done. It used to be a weird first come, first serve, but you don't know when to show up. It's random kind of thing. And it was really weird. And now they're doing a lottery system, but apparently they screwed that up because everybody gets a ticket, but there's a possibility that it'll roll a zero and nobody gets the zero ticket. So nobody gets the house. And then it's just, okay, this house lays abandoned for all time. So they're sorting that out. And I talked to Phil, was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago. And he was saying that he's back into Final Fantasy 14 now. He got it on PC. His wife has pretty much occupied the PS5 indefinitely for the foreseeable future. So he got the Final Fantasy 14 on the PC and he's been playing that. So he's catching up there and doing all his trials and whatnot. And yeah, basically there's just those two games and Apex. They have the new season out. It came out yesterday. They have the new character. So I haven't tried him out yet, but I'll try him out tomorrow.
Nice. So Death Stranding, what you expected?
Pretty much, yeah. As far as gameplay, yeah. But I don't know, the feeling about it to me is feels different. It feels better than I was expecting, but it's weird. But I guess it's funny because the whole point of the game is, or not the whole point, but a big part of the game is that people have become isolated and they, because of this, they have problems with like depression or whatever. So a big thing is that everybody basically has to take, was it oxytocin? They have to take drugs to generate oxytocin in the body so that they will feel happiness. So the whole game, so a big feature of the game is this trying to get this oxytocin high. So that's why everything is based on like likes. So everything you do, you can send likes to people. People can send likes to you. So it's supposed to simulate Facebook. Oh, somebody liked something I did kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know. It definitely triggers that in me when I'm playing it. And I'm like, oh yeah, hey, this is fun. So yeah, I don't know. What can I say? Hideo Kojima is a genius, and I love that guy.
Wait to finish the game and to have the whole story before you say that. Mm. He's a genius, but he's really tortured, this guy.
Oh, no, that's obviously true.
And you're playing, if I recall, the director's cut?
I'm playing the director's cut, yeah.
Do you know what was added to the original content?
I'm not sure. I think they just added some extra missions, maybe some extra little story beats on the side. I'm not quite sure what's additional in the director's cut. So I'd have to look that up. And I hadn't played the original, so I can't compare it on that end. But if I remember correctly, I think they just said that they added a few extra missions and whatnot. Okay. So.
Running 4K 60 frames on your PS5?
Yeah, I'm running on performance mode, so definitely 60 frames per second. But most of the time it's 4K. It's looked great to me.
Okay. Very nice. Cool. I have not been playing much. I played MechWarrior 5 on Sunday with my brother. And we got demolished, but we went to do a mission. We had to defend this base. We got demolished by a catapult and a Victor and all these other sort of Battletech stuff that you wouldn't know if you're not didn't read Battletech. You'd watch the cartoons in the 90s. But it's pretty fun. It's not as cool as I... Always, when I wanted to play like Battletech games and MechWarrior games, I'm like, okay, I'm this mech, I'm all super powerful, but you're always fighting against like multiple mechs at the same time. And we have like me and my younger brother and then two other computer, and they always die first. And then you just always against the odds and you just don't feel powerful, but it's still, since you always have to, like for a, like an FPS, like a person or third person, depending what way you want to play, like a fighting game, it's or like a strategy shooting missiles, laser, battle robot game, it's pretty difficult. You have to be tactical. You have to focus down a leg or, okay, this portion, the chest portion of the mech where the pilot is, okay, let's aim for this mech because this battle armor or the armor on the chest portion is the weakest point and we have to kill this guy quick before he nails us. And you got to watch heat levels and stuff, but it's cool. I tried playing this by myself when it first came out years ago, like 4 years ago, and it just is a horrible single player experience, but multiplayer is good. Beyond that, I have not played a game on my PC for about a month. Just been playing Dragon Quest Builders and enjoying a hell out of that, despite the like sometimes this like weird sounds that the characters make. But it's pretty cool, nice, relaxing, lots of stuff to do. I feel like I'm getting towards the end, but I'm surprised because I know Nintendo first party games tend to deliver a lot of content. I think I've only put in 20 hours or so, no more than that. But yeah. That's it. After that, I want to play Tales of Vesperia? I don't know. It was some game that was on sale on the Switch, and I picked it up. I'm like, okay, that looks cool. Let's give it a try because I'm in.
Good one.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm in the turn-based mode. That is next for me. But yeah, I'm enjoying the Switch gaming. I got these Pokemon Arceus controllers that you can clip onto the Switch. I feel like it's better for people who are bigger because you're not holding like this, you're holding like that. And it sort of expands the Switch and it's much more comfortable. So I'm liking those a lot. But yep, that is it for me. All right, Adam. So today we are talking about the game Forspoken. Adam, do you want to go in any particular order? Or risk of new IPs, I think, makes sense. Or should we go to trailer reaction with Antoine first?
Yeah, we can go to trailer reaction with Antoine first since he was talking about that earlier.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, I was thinking, first of all, which trailer? Because I'm on the official website and there's three of them, so, which are all at least 1 year old. And oh, I was thinking just yeah, to, you know, choose maybe the most recent trailer and see what all of us think, just not me, that would be...
No, because you said trailer reaction. I've seen it. You can tell us your opinion as somebody who hasn't seen it.
Well, in the website, you have three videos. And the first one made me laugh a lot because before knowing about the story and everything, I didn't want it to spoil myself. The video do a good job at this. The first video... was the first reaction I had, like, oh, wow, it's a new mod in Skyrim. Cool. That's what I saw. You had this powerful lady fighting off a dragon. Or the graphics were not so great. So at first I was like, yeah, maybe that's a 2016 or 2012 or 2013. But it really feel like the graphics were a bit dated. Big battle with a dragon, lots of power. So yeah, some mods on it and that works. So yeah, that's what makes me laugh a bit. And after that, the two other trailer, you know, spoiled the whole story about it. And the whole story is extremely Japanese. If you read manga and watch anime, you will definitely know what's an isekai. An isekai is when a person from our world usually dies or hates his life and goes to another world of sword and magic. And usually with a big cheat.
It is quite beautiful.
And has to defeat demons or something like this to go back to Earth. This game is like, you have this lady, I don't know in which American city she is, but clearly she's being either bullied or she has a really crappy life and a cute cat. And somehow she is transported through a wormhole into this world of magic, which seems... really much a bit like Death Stranding. There's not much hope for this world. It looks like it's in a really bad state. I don't know how bad it is, but it looks pretty bad. And she somehow has some talking trinket, magical trinket on the arm. A bit like Navi in Zelda, but on your arm. I'm here! And she can do... You just look at the screen. She can shoot magic. She can... I really like it because she... Maybe it's because she's from our world. She put little rocks around her wrist and use it as a machine gun. She shoot little pellets like this. So maybe she just imagined that. She has some kind of telekinesis power. At least telekinesis at the beginning. I don't know after that. But that basically what she is. She's a person from our world going to a fantasy world, and she's completely OP, and she destroys demons for whatever reason, but I would guess something like save the world, and she will go back to her city on Earth at the end, being all confident, and she will beat up bullies, and that's it. The game is finished. It's going to be like this, you know that. So, yeah, the whole story was spoiled in the story. Doesn't mean that it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be very good. And the fact that they delayed the game, because what I didn't mention, I watched these trailers in HD. I didn't find the graphics really good. They're okay, huh? But if you compare to an Horizon Forbidden West, which went out recently, doesn't compare. So, again, these videos, I believe, are 1 year old. Or more, so maybe the render's not finished. I hope it's gonna look better, but in terms of story, it's a classic Japanese trope, absolutely classic, but it works. It's fun. You see it in manga and books and anime all the time. Why not in video game? So that's what I was wondering, why they choose a Black American person when it's pure Japanese story. They could have put an Asian for once, because you know Asian in their games for Western market, they usually like to put Westerners. Maybe it sells better. But since this story is so Japanese, there's 150% Japanese, I could have gone with an Asian for once. But I don't know. Maybe against it's for marketing or whatever. I don't know what you...
I think in this case they just wanted something different. There are lots of games where you have Asian protagonists. Granted, typically they do typically have more of an anime aesthetic. It's maybe not so obvious, but I think here they just really wanted something different. And yeah, an Aloy kind of character. Yeah, and I think that also because Square Enix is based in the US now.
Oh, true. That's true.
Yeah, they're not purely Japanese anymore.
No, but the story is...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's from New York, so...
Of course, but if you ever read manga, that's an isekai, like a 300%.
Yeah, but I also think that part of it might be that they thought in terms of maybe world appeal. Maybe they thought, hey, if we have more of a Western character, this will have more of a worldwide appeal than maybe if we went with a general character. And there aren't too many female black protagonists in games, so this is another way to make your game stand out. And that's flirted with controversy on its with certain individuals. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Oh, I am too. The story is basic and we already know the end.
If it's granted, what else are you going to expect, right?
Absolutely.
But yeah, the story seems really interesting to me. And yeah.
Boom, straight in the tummy.
Yes.
The story of the protagonist, right? I don't know if you guys saw that on Twitter last year, or probably starting 2 years ago. There was a social movement for black girls to get more involved or more representation. So there's like a very famous Twitter handle run by a girl out of Brooklyn. I chatted to her a few times. She runs a Twitter handle for black girl gamers, BGG, something like that. And she often promotes like black girl streamers or women in gaming in general. And so I can imagine this would have been a decision in part behind it because she's pretty well known. Like she was invited to a bunch of studios and stuff and to get women more involved in games and especially women of color more involved in gaming. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I've definitely seen people saying, and this is something that irritates me, people saying, oh, it's so woke. They're just putting a female protagonist on it and she's a black female protagonist. She's probably going to be a lesbian too. They're just like, yeah, I've seen people in there, oh, this black female lesbian protagonist. And they're like, there's nothing in the trailers that says she's lesbian. You're just projecting at this point. But this is something, I'm not a fan of like gender swapping or race swapping characters, like the new Ghostbusters or whatever. And the reason is because when you do that, I feel like it's saying we don't have enough faith that women or a minority or whatever, we don't have enough faith that these people could actually attract an audience. So we're going to have to piggyback off of a white male character in order to get people to watch that. That to me is a cop out. If we're going to have a black James Bond, it's like we couldn't create an original character. We need a white man James Bond to attract audiences and then we'll introduce them to the black character. So it's kind of like a black character can't stand on their own. So I don't like it when they do that. So I always like it when they create these new characters and then they're going to give them like Static Shock back in the 90s. I was a big fan of that. Let's create a new character, whatever. So here you get this, and people hate it. They're like, oh yeah, they're just doing this because they're woke or whatever. If they want to have a black female and a protagonist, they should create their own stuff. People are doing this right now. They're creating an original character. This is exactly what you were suggesting. And then as soon as they do it, people are like, oh, it's just so woke. And it's, oh God, come on, man. You just wanted to be angry. You were complaining that they're like swapping out these characters and replacing them with these other people and whatever. You're going to complain about that. So then you say if they want to do it, they should create an original character. They do that and then you complain again. So that always irritates me. So I'm actually really excited. When I first saw this, I was like, ooh, this is new. This is fresh. And this goes into the whole new IP thing. This is part of the risks of new IPs is that, yeah, on the one hand, you are taking a risk. If you take a character like James Bond or something, what's going to sell? You just know it's going to sell. It's got that clout. Same thing with Final Fantasy or Fallout. If you release a new Fallout game, it can suck and it's going to sell because it's Fallout. Same thing with Final Fantasy or any big franchise. Mario. I can't think of a Mario that sucked, but if it did, it would still sell, with the exception of that one Mario mobile game. But yeah, so it's a big risk when you do something like this, especially when you decide to go with a character who's so different than everything else. It's I think they're really weighing the risks and the rewards. On the one hand, you're trying something new. It's not proven. You might not get as many people pre-ordering it or something like that. You might have more people waiting for reviews. Like for instance, Elden Ring had this huge backing of the Demon Souls and the Dark Souls and Bloodborne behind it. It sold like crazy, and we saw all the ratings were super high, and now you have a lot of people who are saying like, oh, I bought this game, it's too hard and I don't like it. And now you're starting to get all these people, but they bought it because it had that reputation. And when you do a new IP like this one, that's just so different from everything else. Let's face it, Elden Ring is not that different from previous Demon's Souls.
It's exactly the same.
It's basically the same. It's just open world, exactly.
You just type From Software on your browser and you will see what you will get. Don't get... Oh, I got killed by this first boss. Yes! It's a Dark Soul. Yeah. Of course you got killed by the first skeleton around.
This one, to me, is... I really like the idea because it is a new IP. It's very... What retracted me when I first saw it was just the magic systems and just all the crazy flashiness of it. And that has me both excited and worried because on the one hand, I'm thinking like, this looks really cool. And if they pull it off, this is going to be so much fun to play with the magic system and then just run around and do all these crazy things. But if it's kind of hackneyed, then it could be just a really janky game. I think what Antoine's saying too earlier about the graphics look basic, I think a lot of that has to do with the environment, because I will say the environment does look mostly like desert and rocks and super sparse. So
there was some ruins at the beginning.
There are some ruins, but everything has that Nier Automata dry, everything's deserty.
The remake you made, you streamed before.
Gestalt was Nier
Replicant, yes. Replicant, sorry.
Yeah.
It really felt like this, running around with your magic.
It does have that vibe to it. So, but yeah, and the story to me was really interesting. It's 100% like what Antoine said, it's isekai. And somehow is transported to this other world. In this other world, the other world's name is Athia, which is why it was originally called Project Athia. And because she's from our world, this world has some kind of blight in it where part of the world is corrupted, and if you go into those areas, that's where you find the monsters, and there's basically just one city that's still surviving. And so she has to go out into this world and free these areas from the blight that have already been corrupted. But because she's from our world, the rules of their world don't necessarily apply to her, which makes her immune. And so immediately she's the other. And I think that's interesting that they can do this angle where she's a... In our world, she's a minority person. She's black. So in our world, we see that. But then when you're doing a gameplay thing, the way that they're introducing this is they're like, okay, she's a minority still, but not because she's black, but because she's a person from our world. So then even, say, white people or, you know, Hispanic people can still relate to her on some level because she's one of us. So even if we were in her situation, we would still be seen as the other in this world. And so I think that's a clever little twist on it to get people to relate to her, where they can make her like, okay, she's a minority character, so people can relate to her on that level. But then because she's from our world, everybody from our world is a minority in this world. So I think it's very creative. I'm really looking forward to this game. I did pre-order the deluxe edition, which I went against all of Antoine's advice. So I did, but I'm super excited for this game.
Now that works for Adam because he bought it earlier, maybe cheaper. And he's not going to play it until 6 months after the game has been released. So all the patch will be already out. So
I don't know. This one I might make an exception for. Final Fantasy VII Remake and just be like, whatever I'm doing, I'm dropping it. And if I finish another game like a month ahead, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to play Apex. I'm not going to pick up something else because I want to make sure that my plate is clear when this comes.
I was thinking, do you feel that they took out a little bit of Final Fantasy Spirit Within? Remember the movie?
Yeah.
Just one surviving city with lots of whatever specters and...
I hadn't thought about that, but now that you say it, yeah, I can see it, yeah.
Except that you compared it. Krillin, you're very blurry. Is it just me?
It's blurry for me too.
Yeah. I think it might be my internet, because like Adam was just blurry just now, but now he's become clear.
All right, just in case, you may have seen a lot of videos from Adam's stream and stuff. In Taiwan, apparently, internet is dying these days.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with it.
So let's hope we can finish the show with them in one piece.
Well, Adam's recording, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, it's already in two pieces.
Yeah.
Like literally right at the end of the intro video, like as the screen was going white, it disconnected and I was like, ah, come on. But it hasn't done that since.
Nice. So I want to make a point about the graphics because I'm not sure if you guys saw the news yesterday. Gotham Knights, the WB game coming out in October as well. They said basically... and this is supposed to be the industry like future AAA games, because of, who knows, budgetary constraints or desire, are not going to be console backwards compatible. So no PS4 version, no Xbox One version, only Xbox Series S or X. Only, I can imagine, maybe Forspoken is going to be like, okay, let's make this sort of, you know, in between, so it can scale up and scale down as an option, as opposed to making this like as beautiful as Horizon Zero. God damn, I don't know that. Forbidden West, absolutely beautiful, gorgeous, works for PC as well. And then what was the other thing I wanted to mention as well about this game? Like, when I was researching, this game is the first $70 PC game that I've seen, because it's $70 on Steam at the base price. So that was quite surprising to me, because I haven't seen any other game that's done the sort of PS5 price point. So I think this will, it's a strange decision for a new IP as well. Going back to Adam's topic, you're coming out with a new IP and you're doing the $70 price point, which shows like on gaming, right? After you go past $50, right? You increment like every $5, you lose people. We're like, oh my God, this is $55. It's not $50. I'm not going to buy this. And it's $60. It's not $55. I'm not going to buy this. So I don't know. $70 is a strange decision. I don't know what you guys think.
Let's face it. Games have been moving in this direction for a while. Obviously, with inflation, you can't keep the prices at the same thing forever. That was part of the reason why PlayStation upped the price in the first place, was because of inflation. Gaming is cheaper now than it's almost ever been in terms of the games themselves. So, yeah, I think it was inevitable that the price would go up. Granted, people are never happy when it does, but yeah, I think this was just an inevitability. But yeah, you're right. It is a risky that they would do that with a new IP and not with, say, Final Fantasy 16 or something like that. If you did it with, say, Final Fantasy 16 or Final Fantasy 7 Remake, I don't think people are going to care as much, because they're like, the game is more expensive, but I really wanted to play it, and I understand the prices are going up. People will, they'll convince themselves that it's okay because they want to play the game. Whereas with a new IP, they're not necessarily going to try to convince themselves that it's worth it, because they're like, I don't know anything about this game, and they're raising the price now. So yeah. I think doing it on a new IP is a risk.
What I was wondering is why I have never heard of this game until Adam dropped the name.
I don't know.
I have never. It's a new IP from Square Enix, and it's expensive. You should have massive marketing on it. And I've never heard about it before. So why? I've never seen an advertisement, just not even on Facebook, crappy ad where you have just thousands of bloody mobile game ad. You have something like this, you're going to release an IP in, four months? It's time for the hype train to come. What are you doing? When is the E-Cube?
I don't know. Because they released it, I think they originally announced it at a few years ago, or one of the, yep, something like that. This was announced a long time ago, and it was announced as Project Athia. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. But it's funny, because I remember, if you go way back, I don't know which episode it was, but if you go way back, Korean and I were once talking about games we were looking forward to, and I said Project Athia, because back then it wasn't even known as Forspoken yet. And so I've been watching this game it's been on my radar for a long time. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, because it's been on my radar. So I've been seeking it out, though. Like, I'm watching it. So for me, it's going to seem like it's obviously out there. But for somebody who had just never seen it before,
I've never, and take Starfield, which is released maybe a month after this one. I've seen it everywhere. You know, it's hard to go anywhere without seeing, Bethesda/Microsoft, new IP, Starfield, it is everywhere. Forspoken, I haven't seen it yet. So that's, maybe it's just because I'm not on internet enough, but I am on internet enough. Yeah, no clue.
It's a strange decision. I agree with that. But I think it's also telling with the times that the overall stock markets are down. Like Adam mentioned, inflation as well. But it's still a strange decision. Inflation didn't really hit until the end of like middle 2021. Going into 2020, these AAA games take a while to be developed. Why suddenly go with the $70 price point? And it's, I mean, whoever's backing Square Enix or investors in the company and stuff, they'd be like, what? This is why you guys, you know, setting this up to fail in a sense for $70, because like, I have not bought a full price game in a long time. And like, Adam ordered the deluxe edition, so he must have paid like $80, $85.
I don't remember how much it was. I'd have to go and look it up.
Yeah, so it's probably still like the movement systems of the game, the magic and stuff. I've always been looking for a magic sort of game, and like Ghostwire Tokyo looks cool, except for the freaky masks, and that would just make me not sleep. So this looks much better. But yeah, it's a very strange decision for this game, but it'll be good to see how it works out and if things are going to happen. We'll see. To mention, so like you guys talked about a lot of stuff, so what I will mention as well is that the music is done by Bear McCreary. I don't know if you guys know. Adam might know that.
That's the guy from Game of Thrones, right?
That's also the guy from Battlestar Galactica.
So big name.
Yeah, he's done the music for Forspoken. We'll go through all the English grammar right there.
I am excited about that. I did not know that, and that makes me happy.
Forspoken is the debut title of the studio, right? So it's their first game, which is good, bad. Like, hopefully it's a knockout. Luminous Productions is the name of the company. They were originally from employees who worked on Final Fantasy. Is that 14?
XV? 15.
15. Shit.
Yeah, the 15 guys, which I know Antoine's going to be like, but that yeah. No. I liked 15, though. See, that's one of the things where I wonder if maybe if it hadn't been named Final Fantasy 15, maybe if it had its own name, like if they had called it, what was the name of the city that they were from or whatever. But if they had given it a different name, would Antoine have liked it? I don't know.
An unfinished game is going to piss me off. That's all. You know, I was very happy with FF15 until the Water City, Venice City. I was very happy until it. And then seeing it rush completely with the train to the end. We don't have time. We don't have budget. And I was enjoying myself until now. What happened? There's a point where they say, no, guys, we are releasing the game in 2 weeks. You have to finish it now. Okay. All right. Let's do it now. You can give it the name you want. It's not good. Sorry. I'm pissed at this game, and I will always be pissed at this game.
Yeah, so that's one worry that I had with this one. Is this one going to come out unfinished in the same way that 15 came out unfinished? But hopefully it'll be pretty good. So
it's a new IP. If they do that, they doom it right away. And they took, again, let's remind that they took 5 more months than originally planned. And I hope it's to finish the game. Final Fantasy, they can't really do that because it's a big name. They have pressure to release it on time. Okay, wait. I'm talking about because it doesn't count. Nah, yeah, forget what I said.
But what was it? Because Creedon was saying, for the price point going up, I'm wondering if maybe part of that has to do with Sony, where they were saying, we want price parity with the PS5 version, because if we don't, obviously that could hurt PlayStation. If it's cheaper on PC, some people might be opting for the PC version than the PlayStation version. So I wonder if maybe there was a deal worked out there with Sony where they were saying, like, okay, let's have price parity across the board. And so I'm wondering if maybe there was a deal there.
It makes sense, because the other thing I didn't realize, this is a PlayStation exclusive for 2 years.
Console exclusive. It comes out on PC in October, right?
Yep. So on PlayStation and PC, but no Xbox.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yes. But that being said, as well, right, this might be a good transition that Sony and Nintendo machines to be on short supply again in 2022, unlike the Xbox. Which is not good for PlayStation.
No. Yeah, Xbox has been outselling PlayStation, but that's because Xbox has been more available. So yeah, Microsoft threw their weight around and was able to buy up a lot of chips.
TSMC's production here in Taiwan.
Yeah. So Microsoft, they were able to use their money to their advantage.
And that's... remember the unbeatable library at, $10 per month? The Xbox? Yeah.
Yes, yes. And then another sort of off branch of that is that Nintendo missed analyst expectations for Switch sales. And they said they blamed it, of course, on shortage of consoles and hardware availability and supply shortages. So it's out of the console wars, Microsoft is winning because they can't make enough Switches as well. Like even the Switch OLED, before it was coming out, I remember listening to a podcast, and they only made 1 million OLED units available for the entire world.
Wow.
It's normal. I'm working for an IT company. If you guys don't know, for a very famous IT company, if you buy gear now, depending on the gear, you have to wait for a year or a year and a half.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And the company I'm working for have a very big... I'm working for Cisco. So yeah, you buy Cisco gear, you wait a year and a half. And it's a big company. So it's the same for everyone in the industry. There's not enough materials, there's not enough semiconductors, there's not enough COVID was bad. Russia, Ukraine is even worse because lots of materials you can't get from Russia anymore. Anyway, that's not going to get solved anytime soon.
Yeah, and for new people, if you're not techie people, like I guess the three of us are techie people, like Cisco is the backbone of Amazon Web Services, of Microsoft Azure. It is the backbone of the internet in the world. There is no internet without Cisco. So that tells you how serious the sort of supply shortage situation is in the world.
Very serious.
Okay, I did want to mention a few highlights to you guys. Podcasting to be a $4 billion industry in 2024. So in 2 years, podcasting sitting at like $1.7 billion right now. So some good news for middle-aged gaming listeners and for us as well, but we still have a chance to get that extra $2 billion in value for middle-aged gaming.
Fair enough.
Yes, indeed. Other thing I wanted to mention as well is, so next week we are talking about Sniper Elite 5. So Antoine, since you chose it, what part do you want to cover?
Again, I have not seen any trailer or anything of this game. I had actually no idea it was coming out, but it's much more of a niche game. And I didn't even knew this game if I didn't see Korean actually stream it on our channel. And after that, because it was on discount on Steam, I got it and I really had a lot of fun on it. So that's why when I saw Sniper Elite 5 is released in end of, I'm like, hey, we have to do this one because it's really good. But I haven't seen any images. I haven't seen any trailers of it. So it's a full discovery for me. So yeah, basically I want to treat this game as a full discovery. Again, it's a niche game, so I haven't seen any marketing. I didn't even knew that it was coming out. So unless you actually follow this game, if you have a reminder somewhere popping up, I wouldn't have known. So, yeah, I just want to see what it would look like, and I really hope it's going to be as fun as the fall.
Cool. So we'll do that same thing as this week. Like you can watch the trailers, react to it. Adam, any particular part you want to cover?
I've never played a Sniper Elite game before, so I'm not really sure what to cover.
Because when you did Risk of New IPs, right? Like
Sniper Elite 4. If you have a number 4 after your name or 5 or whatever, that's not exactly a new IP.
What about, I always find this interesting, like I mean, freaking Final Fantasy is going to be 16, right? Like repetition in IPs.
Okay, so how to keep a franchise fresh?
Yeah. And I will do what we know so far again, as usual, moving into next week. I don't remember. I don't think Antoine's a soccer person. Like the other big gaming news is that EA has lost the license for FIFA. This year will be the last year for FIFA. FIFA 23 will be the last.
No. Ever. I don't care. Remember that I hated this FIFA concept of renting cards. Remember this card stuff that you have to buy and it's limited and you buy your card but you only have it for 6 months. Robbery, daylight robbery. Oh my god. See, you should put NFTs on each card. That's mine. I bought it as mine. Don't take it back. No, I hated this concept. I really hate this guy. I haven't played any sports game in a long time, so that doesn't. I like real soccer, and my team is really crap this year. So let's not talk about soccer, please.
Who's your team, just for our listeners?
Bordeaux team in France, who's gonna play in the second league next year because they are dead last this year.
Oh no, they got relegated.
Oh yeah, they are really shit. Crap, sorry. Oh, same. Really bad, it's terrible.
Okay. I think the last piece of video game news, I'll shoot this over to Adam, is that Sony's Bungie deal is being investigated.
Yeah, so I heard about that. Yeah, that's by the FCC or whatever, which is funny because that's what everybody was. That was a big hullabaloo when Microsoft said they were going to buy out Activision Blizzard and they were going to be investigated by the FCC or they were going to be looked into by, I don't know if investigated is the right word, but they're going to be looked into by the FCC and everyone's like, oh no, this isn't antitrust or this isn't a monopolization or whatever. So people are making a big deal out of it. And then Sony buys Bungie and then they kind of suddenly they're being investigated for the same thing. And it's like, it makes you wonder, like given the size of Microsoft and given the size of Activision Blizzard, and then compare that to the size of Sony and the size of Bungie, it makes you wonder, is there a bit of nepotism going on here where like the big companies have a bit more pull? Now, as far as it being investigated, I don't think that obviously I think that's just the FCC doing their job. I don't think Microsoft's pulling any strings there. But I would be very suspect if the Sony Bungie deal was seen as problematic and the Microsoft Activision deal was seen as not. So I expect that they're just going to look into it and they're going to be like, yeah, it's fine. I don't think anything's going to come of it. But it is just funny. I don't think it's actually all that suspicious. I don't think it's actually all that strange or whatever. But I would if it had a certain result.
It'd be fun to see the deal canceled and then Microsoft buy Bungie.
I don't think Bungie wants to be bought by Microsoft. Maybe they would be open to it now, but they left Microsoft for a reason. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Just also to remind everyone, is like all these deals, while they've gone through in the media, they still have to be passed by local government regulators and companies that have to be passed. So there has to be a vote on the board, and all the shareholders have to say, yes, you can pass X amount of dollars per share for this company. Things can still happen.
I saw some shareholders were trying to sue
from Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, because some of the shareholders were saying that this deal basically gives him the golden parachute. It gives him an easy out with a good payout. And they were saying that we didn't agree to this buyout and this guy's benefiting from it. And we know if you want to be bought out, this guy should not be benefiting from this, and at least not to this extent. And so some of the shareholders were trying to sue for that.
The New York Firefighters Teachers Union, public funds, technically. Yeah. So it's interesting. That is it, guys. So as a reminder as well, please check out our Starfield video. If you like this kind of videos, we'll be doing more of these in the future. Check out our TikTok channel. Please subscribe, hit that notification bell on YouTube. Subscribe on whatever your podcast app is. Now we have a way to track that, so that is much appreciated. We are having streaming issues, as Anton mentioned, here in Taiwan. Video quality, we're not really sure why. Adam and I have tried mobile internet, our regular sort of land-based internet. Adam has DSL. I have fiber to the cabinets, and even with fiber, it's still weird, so we don't know what's going on there. So streaming might be a bit iffy, but at least podcast will be out today or tomorrow as usual. And tune in next week for our special Sniper Elite 5 episode suggested by Antoine. And yeah, that is it. I hope you guys have a very good week, and don't look at the stock market or the crypto markets too much. You might be sad.
All right. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!